Hi, welcome, and you're listening to Journey with God. My name is Craig Tim. Whenever we get together, God has another message for us in living the Christian life, overcoming those obstacles, overcoming what the enemy is planting in front of us. He's giving us encouragement, grace, mercies, and guidance to overcome all of that so that our walk can be blameless with Him each day. Now today, we have a Christmas message. A Christmas message from the Lord to guide us into what it's all about. But if you're expecting that typical Christmas message, well, you're not going to hear it. That's not what God has for us today. See, the Lord's given me a message to share with you that hopefully will be just an eye-opener to everyone, including the unbeliever that you're listening today. And if that is you, please, just stay with me here and continue listening. Hear what God has to say. You just might be surprised by what it is. I'm going to be sharing a few key points here, and we're going to find out where you stand regarding the celebration of Christmas. Let's begin looking at gift giving. Now, if you participate in Christmas in any way, you most likely are giving gifts to special people in your life. Now, some may reciprocate with you and some may not. It just all depends, of course. But most of us, we're taught in some form or another, going to church or not, that it's better to give than to receive. So I remember as a youth that I only went to church twice a year. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. But I heard that it's better to give than to receive. And I'm sure you've heard that too. But I want to take a few minutes and let's just see what history says about gift giving and how it relates to Christmas. See, during the first two centuries of Christianity, there was strong opposition to recognizing birthdays of martyrs and for that matter, of Jesus Christ himself. There were numerous church fathers of the day that offered sarcastic comments about the pagan custom of celebrating birthdays. Jealousy, perhaps? Yeah, I don't know. That's just what they were doing. But the actual observance of the day of Jesus' birth was a long time coming, as so many wanted to celebrate his birthday to honor him. Now, the precise origin of assigning December 25 as the birthday of Jesus is somewhat unclear. Actually, I could not find anything in the New Testament that provides any particular clues in regard to why that specific date. But toward the end of the 18th century, the practice of giving gifts to family members, it became very well established. Theologically, the feast day reminded Christians of God's gift of Jesus to humankind, even as the coming of the wise men or the magi to Bethlehem suggested. It suggested, that Christmas really began and related to giving gifts when they came. And the practice of giving gifts during the celebration, it goes back to the 15th century, so where it really, really became ingrained. Now, it directly relates to the fact the Magi brought gifts to the manger where Christ was born. Yeah, we know the story. It's just like we bring a gift to friends and family when we stop by to see their new baby, right? Usually it's a cloth of clothing or a simple toy or some other kind of item to bless them. Well, the same principle is here. Only the Magi brought special gifts that symbolize areas of Christ's life to be. They brought, if you know the story, yes, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, why those three? Well, gold, it's really symbolic of his royal nature. Because Jesus Christ, he was born a king to the people. And frankincense, well, this is a spicy form of incense. It was used in a lot of religious rites. Actually, it's the symbol of Christ's holiness. And myrrh, well, it's, from what I've read, it's a kind of has a pungent taste and aroma, but it's all about experiencing life. But this was also used in embalming the dead. So this gift is about death too, life and death. And it's been said that this spice represents the power of Jesus. He had the power to turn death back into life. He had the power over the womb and the tomb. So the gift of mirth showed he had the power to change the world. And Christmas is known to all men the world over historically as the memorable day of the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes. Though it's true that Christmas is celebrated as the day of the advent of Christ into this world, yet it also symbolizes a very deeply significant truth of the spiritual life. See, he is the very personification of divinity, yes. He was born at a time when ignorance and superstition, greed, hatred, hypocrisy had prevailed upon all over the land. The rulers there, they were arrogant, they were unrighteous. And the people, they were lost, they were just out. Purity was totally forgotten. Morality, totally neglected. They were all intent upon worshiping wealth and material things more than adoring God himself. There was no idealism at all. Stop and think a minute. Does this not sound like a lot of what America now has become? Are we living in this same thing? Because actually, we're no better than those who lived in biblical times. We still fight the same sins today as they did back then. In the midst of all these wild settings, Christ was born. He worked a transformation in the lives of people. He gave a new and a spiritual turn to the lives of man. And there came a change upon the land. People started upon a new way of life. A new era dawned for the world. Let's take a look at another aspect of life that maybe the unbeliever just actually doesn't realize that he is recognizing Christ's existence. A simple sequence we all go through, you know, sometimes multiple times in a day. What is it that you write when you put a date on a document or a letter? You're writing the year, the month, and the day. The year is representative A.D., right? A.D., after death. After death of whom? Jesus Christ. So every time you write the date, you are acknowledging the timeline from Jesus' death. Think about it. Those conditions of darkness and impurity and materialism that prevailed before the coming of Christ, they signify to you the inner state of the seeker's personality. And in that period, the seeker, yeah, he's got no thought of God or any higher spiritual life. He's immersed in the pursuit of all those material things of the external world has to offer. Actually, the devil has made him a slave of his own senses. Yeah, think about that. A slave of his own senses. He has no spiritual ideal in life. He's desire-ridden, arrogance, sensuality characterizes personality. He lives a life of lust and anger, greed, deluded attachment, pride, jealousy, and everything else in between that we've been talking about. But if in this state of things, it must cease, and that seeker must enter a new life of spiritual aspiration, purity, devotion. Then the Christ Spirit must take its birth within his heart. That is the real Christmas, when the divine element begins to express itself in the heart of man. And from then onward, light begins to shine where darkness was before. Ignorance gives way to the beginning of wisdom. Impurity, it's replaced by purity. Hatred ceases and love begins to blossom forth. And in his innermost core, man is essentially divine. But upon this field of human personality, two forces keep acting. They are the forces of good and evil, and of light and darkness. The divine and the undivine both operate in the human consciousness of man. Yeah. And to completely overcome and eradicate that undivine element, to fully manifest the supreme divine element in all its radiant light and glory, this can only be achieved through the living of the Christ life in the utmost faithful detail. This is the new spiritual life. If the Christ life is to be lived, first of all, the child Christ has to be born in us. And then only the real spiritual life commences to the hopeful. The first manifestation of divine urge in the form of spiritual aspiration, the recognition of the spiritual ideal, signifies the birth of the infant Jesus within the seeker's being. And from here starts the living of the Christ life in all its spiritual details of sublime purity, faith in divinity, mercy, compassion, love, selflessness, prayerfulness, and all so much more. Do you know with the advent of this Christ Spirit within the heart of the seekers, all human desires come to an end and they're replaced by pure, higher divine aspirations. Spirituality overcomes materialism. You break free from your slavery to the senses. You begin to live a new life, a divine life of purity, love, humility, selflessness. Your life becomes sublime like the life of Christ. You begin to live a life of complete faith and dependence upon God. And you always think of God, talk of Him, live for Him. Helping others becomes a real joy to you now. You become a living witness of the divine. All your life's activities now flow towards God. Now, if you recall, Jesus was not born in a grand palace. He was not born to very wealthy or even learned parents. And he was not born in the full blaze of glory daylight with the knowledge of all men. No. Jesus Christ was born in a simple, lowly place, a corner of a stable. He was born to humble and poor parents who had nothing to boast about except their own spotless character and holiness. Also, he was born in the darkness, in the obscure hour of the night when no one knew about it except a few divinely blessed people. It's true, humility and self-effacement are a beautiful harbor. The dawn lights, as it were, the herald, the break of the joyous new day, the advent of the new era of a new life in spirit came. And when they appear within you, then the holy Christmas takes place. There is a new birth then, just like the manger. This is the birth into divine life. It was a secret of this birth that centuries ago the Lord Jesus so sweetly explained to the good Nicodemus. The good man did not quite understand what precisely Christ meant when he taught that a man must be born again of his to attain the kingdom of God. And he says, how can this be? And then it was that Christ explains that this birth is inward, not of the body, but in the spirit. Such inner spiritual birth is essential if the supreme is to be attained, if true bliss to be experienced. Rejoicing takes place only when Christmas has finally come. John 3:3, Jesus says here, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Be born again and live anew, a world of today. And may the bliss and the radiance of the Lord's advent permeate the earth. But seekers, mark this. When divinity is to manifest, welcome it with open arms. Do not be so engrossed in the world and deny a place to the Lord. At his blessed advent, the land was so engrossed in counting men and reckoning of money that the inns and the houses of Bethlehem were so crowded out there was hardly any place to live and no place to stay and receive the Lord. The census and the taxation signify the soul's bondage to preoccupation and earthly human relationships and all the attachments the enemy does. Turning away inwardly from all pursuit of earthly wealth and overcoming all attachment, be thou ever fully receptive to the expression of the divine spirit within you. Now, beloved seekers, usher in now the real, the spiritual Christmas within your being. Become desireless. Conquer egoism. Become embodiments to the true humility. Develop meekness and lowliness of spirit by humble surrender unto the Lord. Be courageous to overcome all those obstacles. Joyously renounce mammon. Become, welcome the descent of the light of the grace within. Rejoice in the advent of the divine. and celebrate that Christmas that ultimately leads you onto the glorious climax of your transfiguration, resurrection, ascension. Be crowned with divine glory. Now, believers and unbelievers, we all celebrate Christmas very differently. While both groups might celebrate Christmas with lots of food, laughter, gifts, and a wonderful time with family and friends, but only one group celebrates Christmas for the very reason it exists, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you, Christmas is not just a time for food and laughter and church events. It's a time for us to make an unbeliever's Christmas meaningful too. And how do we do that? How do we do that to an unbeliever? We do that by sharing the gospel of Christ with them. Many churches, my church included, and all the other ones that I've ever attended, they want to say Jesus is the season. Correction. Jesus is the reason for the season. Without really sharing his love to people. Think about that one. We who are saved, we know that he came to show us the Father's love and to pay the price for our sins and to redeem us. But the unbelievers, they don't know that. They don't know God's love. And neither do they feel or they experience it yet. Because if they did, they would have believed already. But how would they know if we don't tell them and show them? Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Yeah, think about that. To be an effective witness to unbelievers, it must include more than just being a good example. Right? Oh, yeah, it's important to, quote, walk the talk, of course. Yeah, we've heard that, right? You got to walk the talk. But eventually, we have to explain the content of the gospel, the what's and the how's and the why's. That's what we have to do. See, the thing is, unbelievers, they remain unbelieving because believers don't reach out to them. We're all too busy with our personal activities. We're busy preparing for that Christmas dinner. We're busy putting decorations up. We're busy exchanging gifts in the church and attending all those church activities. We're so busy with all those things, we don't give time to doing what Christ wants us to do more than anything else. Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus says this to us. Now listen. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so as we close, my dear friends, I encourage you, let's make their Christmas and our Christmas especially meaningful this year. Now the Lord bless you and to keep you. And the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace each day. Amen.